We have surely traversed tonight in these great hymns a number of characteristics of trust. In 1996, an organization named Freedom From Religion filed suit in this country to have removed from our currency the motto of the nation, "In God We Trust." I suppose it was one of the fastest rejections that has ever passed through the Supreme Court, about 2 months and it was all over. But would it have made any difference? I think probably inconvenience would have driven it more than a deep confidence in God in our nation. But that's not the concern we have here, whether or not there's written, whether meaningfully or otherwise, upon the currency of the nation, "In God We Trust." The question for us is, as Christians, whether that means anything in our lives. The text already written, already read, in the third chapter of Proverbs is one that I had intended to read, and you know it well, verses 5 and 6, and succeeding verses that speak about what it means to trust in the Lord with all your heart. The word trust is a translation in our English versions of the same word that's translated faith or belief. But I believe in English it has come to mean something more. You can never say, as you can say about faith, you can say mere faith. Or you can say faith alone. But you cannot say mere trust. Because the word trust contains within itself an idea of an absolute confidence and commitment to something or something or someone. I, reading through this afternoon, when I learned that I was to speak tonight, it was Sam who was supposed to speak, but he didn't know the fourth Sunday would become third Sunday, and he had to work. And Carl was busy preaching out of town, and so it fell my opportunity to speak about this subject. But it came very powerfully to me that the Old Testament is full of the Word. The Psalms are full of it. Expressions of faith and confidence in God. The truth is, you know, that we're going to trust somebody or something. That's not the issue. And we are warned in the Scripture to be careful of going the wrong direction with our trust. That's a precious gift to give to anything. Those who trust in themselves that they are righteous, Jesus said, is the one to whom I am directing this parable of the Pharisee and the publican, Luke 18:9. Those who trust in riches, he said, difficult to enter the kingdom of heaven, in Mark 10:24. Beware of that. Those who trust in lying words need to beware, as Jeremiah warns in Jeremiah 7:4. All kinds of remedies out there. Things that men have contrived, and they don't mind deceiving you because they don't have the same character as God. And those who put themselves in trust to men are especially warned. 118th Psalm, verses 8 and 9. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Be careful are putting your confidence in human power or human wisdom or human ways. Be careful of putting your confidence in yourself. And be careful of putting your confidence in material things. We're not speaking tonight, as we have read and as we have sung, we're not thinking about trust in some limited sense, the trust department in the bank where you put your things in the trust department and you trust that they will take care of your things. We're not talking even about putting your trust in another individual that you have confidence in and you believe in, as we say. What we're speaking of tonight is some transcendent kind of concern that had to do with not only now, but always. Whom can you trust now and always? That's the question that's before us here. And I can tell you, as the 84th Psalm says in verse 12, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Trust means submission. The third chapter of Proverbs speaks to it. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. This has reference to his will. You must be willing always to say, before you move, what is his way? I don't have confidence in myself, but I do have confidence in his wisdom and his way. What is that wisdom? What is that way? You cannot have trust in anyone you do not know. It takes knowledge of someone before trust can develop. Even those of us who have first recently become Christians, we have some young people here who have become Christians, who have confessed their faith in Jesus, they have exercised in real measure a trust in Christ, because they have said, I'm giving my life to you. I'm entrusting my life to you. And you have to do that to become a Christian. You deny yourself and take up your cross and follow him. You surrender yourself absolutely. And these young people, of course, need to know that. I think they do know it, as much as they're able at this point to know it with a whole heart. And so we hear of him first, though. We know of him first. And then we come to believe in him in the sense of trusting in him as the Christ of God, which he is. And then we say, that's the way I'm going to live, as he wants me to live. I'm going to walk as he wants me to walk. I'm not going to lean on my understanding. And that's a significant shift, isn't it? No more my wisdom, now always his wisdom. But why should we trust in the Lord? Three reasons, and then the lesson is done. First of all, because he knows everything. You wouldn't want to trust in some honest soul who just didn't know much. You might have confidence that he'll always try his best to do right, and that he'll always try to give you accurate information, but he won't know enough to give you that, even when he intends to do so. 1 John 3:20 is a significant passage, because that statement that's made there for he knows, that is, God knows all things, is in a context of giving assurance. Verse 18 says, My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. That passage my wife has pasted on the kitchen cabinet, and I see that regularly. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. You know, that passage is saying that even when our heart mistakenly condemns us, and it can sometimes do that, God is greater than our hearts and knows all things. And we can be assured before Him when we've done what we ought to do, so far as we know, and are trying increasingly to do His will, and still feel condemned. John says that God is greater than our hearts, and He knows us better than we know ourselves, because He knows all things. So He knows if you've got trouble. And He knows if you've got wrong attitudes. And He knows if you've got wrong values. And therefore, He can help you. 139th Psalm, you know. Secondly, He loves you. He cares about you. Carl quoted a passage and used it effectively in a recent lesson of his from Jeremiah 29:11, where God is saying to Judah, "For I know my thought toward you." Thoughts of peace and not of evil. God is not willing that any should perish, Peter says in 2 Peter 3, but that all should come to repentance. 1 Timothy 2:4. God wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That is the longing of His heart. But there are some people that know a lot, and there are people that love us a lot. And they'd do anything for us that was for our good. But unfortunately, even if they knew everything, and even if they loved us to perfection, there's not anything they can do to help us. Our parents, dear and close and intimate friends. It's God alone, for this third reason, that we can trust absolutely. He knows us well. He knows us perfectly. He loves us completely. And number three, He is all power. That is to say, He knows perfectly and therefore is able to judge perfectly. And He also loves in perfection and therefore wills to do us good in every way. And thirdly, He's able to do exceedingly above all that we can imagine. Ephesians 3, verse 20. As Jesus said when the disciples were astonished in Matthew 19, as He observed that it's easier for a needle or a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God, and they said, in amazement, who then can be saved? And Jesus said, with men it's not possible, but with God all things are possible. And that is applied directly to the issue of being saved. So you can trust Him, but you have to learn to do it. And one way that you're going to learn to trust God is learning to trust Him in difficult times. Out of adversity, trust grows. It's easy enough to think we trust God in the sunny days. It's easy enough when you're young and your health is virtually perfect and all your friends are well and your family is well and you haven't suffered any deep heartache or heartbreak. Easy enough to think that you love God, and I believe that we and trust Him. I believe that that's something that we do with the heart of youth. We offer what we can. But it's only in the passage of time and some painful times that we really come to trust Him. And about that, in the last passage that I want to address tonight, in the first chapter of 2 Corinthians, Paul says in verse 9, of the first chapter, "Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead." We sometimes wonder why we should rejoice when we're caught in manifold tribulations, as James 1:3 said. Well, we don't rejoice in the suffering. We rejoice in what He's going to do for us, just like our Lord rejoiced, who is the pioneer of our faith. And we look to Him, who for the joy that was set before Him, that's the point, endured the shame, and is set down the right hand of the throne of God. It was what it would produce. What our adversity and our suffering will produce that we rejoice in. Because God is using it. Not to cause us not to trust ourselves, but to trust Him. And the 10th verse says, who delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver us, in whom we trust that He will still deliver us. Notice the three perspectives of that passage. He delivered us from so great a death. He does deliver us. And we are persuaded that He will still deliver us. He ever lives, Hebrews says about Jesus, to make intercession for His saints. He is able to save to the uttermost. And we can trust in Him and our task. And it's a rather beautiful one, I think. Rather wonderful one. Our task is to come to trust Him and to manifest that trust by always keeping His will, good times and bad. By always doing His work, good times and bad. By always striving to be what He wants us to be, good times and bad. And only in those concrete manifestations can it be said that we have learned to trust in God with all our hearts and not to lean upon our own understanding. This church, we as a people, need to be so fully characterized by that Spirit that people who look at us will be able to say, will be drawn to say, those people trust God. Absolutely. May the Lord bring that to pass. So we close tonight with a hymn of invitation, bringing to a conclusion and to a focus a job well done by these men who have led us in the reading of Scripture and of these good songs and prayers. I rejoice in these times that we have. And now the question is, will you trust the Lord? He knows you absolutely. Knows what you need before you ask, as Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. He loves you absolutely. Cares for you. Never has acted in His own self-interest. Always acts in your interest. Though He is God. And you're His creature. And number three, He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. And what more could you want than that? He fills us to the full. All His fullness is ours. If we will seek it, we will ask it. Will you trust Him tonight? Not just some academic belief, but will you trust Him tonight as the Lord and Savior of your souls, as the keeper of your days, as the one who has saved you, will save you, and in the future will continue to care for you from here to eternity? That's the invitation of God. I think you understand that. And I think you know what the Lord has said, to invite you to come to Him and follow Him. And we sing this hymn, thinking about you and praying for you, that you have come to Jesus and serve Him tonight while we stand together.